Several weeks ago, we began our study on reformation of the family. And we began by teaching what the Bible has to say about marriage, family, children, the context of the home, what should be the pervasive ambiente of the home. The discipline and training of children. But we began the series by the words found in Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. That original language used there in that particular verse could literally be rendered, train up a child according to his individual bent. And when he's old enough to make his own decisions, he will make those decisions according to the way he has been trained. But if you take away the training and the discipline, he will also make those decisions according to the way he hasn't been trained. Due to the sheer neglect of training and discipline. We also discuss the fact that the original rendering of that verse that we just quoted literally means train up a child according to his individual bent. And we discussed in detail the fact that this child that's been born is not just a little nice innocent ball of clay that you can mold and make like you want it to be. Not so. We discussed the fact that that child, like all children, like us, at birth are a child of Adam. Born with a sin nature. So one of the ways that a child is bent from birth on through childhood is a sin nature. And we've mentioned so many times, but I'll do it again without apology, because it graphically illustrates what I'm trying to say. You don't need to teach a child to tell a lie. You don't need to call him in and say, okay, son, dad's going to teach you. I want you to learn how to lie. So let me teach you how to lie. You don't have to do that. You don't have to teach a child to have a temper tantrum and to fall on the floor and kick and scream and pull their hair out. They know that. That's the sin nature. So what do you do about training the child? You train up the child knowing, recognizing, and taking into account this child is born with a sin nature. I've got to deal with that. We also pointed out, thanks to the Lord, that God, according to Psalm 139, blesses a child with certain individual gifts and talents and abilities that can be used or abused. Some children are gifted at art. Some children are gifted with music. Some children are gifted with mathematic abilities, technology. They capture it quickly. Those are the good ways in which a child is bent. We need to take that into account and enforce and help develop those gifts that God has given. Psalm 139, the wonderful things that God does when he weaves us in our mother's womb. one of the ways that we take into account, hear me well, both the sin nature as well as the good gifts that we're talking about, is closely related to discipline. I grew up with a saying, of course, I think Texans are gifted at sayings of different kinds. The saying goes like this. It's either smack wrong or it's candy right. Got it? You understand it? A child's behavior is either smack wrong, it's wrong and he's going to get punished for it, or it's candy right. It's good and right and he's going to get rewarded for his good behavior. And that's taking into account that he is born with this sin nature, but he is born with this good nature, with gifts. And so we are accountable to deal with the sin and also deal with these gifts, and discipline applies in both cases. What kind of discipline? I'm talking about biblical discipline. Discipline according to the way God has planned it. Discipline about the gifts? Yeah. My mom was a piano teacher. My dad and my mom were both gifted musicians. And I guess by God's good grace, I inherited that. And guess what my mom said? You're going to take piano lessons until you graduate from high school. She started me out on piano and violin. I used to play violin in competition as a little tyke. So one day I go tell my mom. I said, Mom, I don't want to take piano and I don't want to take violin anymore. I'm through. She looked at me. She said, well, you may quit taking violin, but you will study piano until you graduate from high school. And guess what? She meant it. She was little, very small lady, but very powerful. She meant what she said. So day after day after day, guess where I was? At least for a half hour. Every day at the piano. That's discipline. That's building into your system discipline. I would like to be out playing softball or whatever out in the front yard. I'm sitting at the piano practicing at least 30 minutes a day. That's discipline. There's other kinds of discipline when we're trying to correct wrong behavior. Smack wrong. Candy right. And we need to punish when the behavior is wrong. Send a message. Send a message. I had a young man in the boys' home tell me, Mr. Walters, I don't know how you can hit me on one end and make me think on the other. I said, there's a nerve that runs from here to here, and it sends a message. And the message is, don't do that again, or you will suffer the consequences. Smack wrong. Then there's Candy Wright, rewarding the child for their accomplishments, for their good behavior, reinforces that, and giving them direction of how to use those gifts, not for sinful, carnal, selfish purposes, but for the good of themselves, their family, God, and others. Being useful in this world. Turn with me to Proverbs 3, 11. Proverbs 3, 11. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord. Does the Lord discipline us? You better believe it. He does discipline us, and he knows how to discipline, how long, and in intensity. Or lo, that word means hate, his reproof, that would be correction. Now look at verse 12. For whom the Lord loves. What does the Lord do to those he loves? He reproves them. He disciplines them. Why does he discipline? Because he loves them. The motivation, we might use that word, in God's purpose is, I love and I'm not going to let him get by with it. I love him too much to let him destroy himself and ruin himself. I'm going to put the brakes on. And he can do it. Dear ones, I've said it before. I'll say it again. The Lord knows how to get your attention. And he will get it. Whom the Lord loves. Ah, but look at the rest of the statement. Even as a father, the son in whom he delights. What's the motivating factor of a dad who will discipline his child? Love. In other words, I love you so much that I'm not going to let you get by with this as a pattern of behavior in your life, because ultimately it will destroy you and others. And I don't want that to happen. I love you too much. Why does God discipline us? Because he loves us. And God says, I want you, Dad, to discipline your children. Because you love them. Think about it. Discipline requires a lot. I'm not talking about just jerking them up and spanking them, as we will see as we progress in the study. It includes that, some form of corporal punishment, which the Bible teaches. We used to say and think, and we wouldn't expect a child to understand it at this point in life. But A genuine parent who loves his children can say this, this hurts me worse than it hurts you. And when you get old enough and get married and have your own children, you'll know what that means. Probably not till then. Well, now I want us to move into the point that we have in mind for today. And it is this. Do you discipline, and I'm talking generally, I'm not talking about this particular congregation limited, but the question comes in general, do you discipline your child because you love it? Or because you're angry? That's a big question. If a child gets in your way, causes you some embarrassment, causes you some inconvenience, it's easy to be angry. And out of that anger, to administer discipline, either with your tongue or with a switch, or both. What's coming across then to the child? Now remember, you as a child, you can very seldom, as that child's parent, hide anything from that child. That child is uniquely wired and gifted and whatever else to discern what's going on. Children get in your way. Children make noise. Children have a way of annoying you. Interrupted that TV program. Made a mess. Spilled something doing their chemical experience or something. We corrected them. Were they aware of your love at any point? You see, whom the Lord loves, he reproves. What's the foundation? What's the motivating factor? Why am I correcting this child? Because he disobeyed me? And I'm angry? He interrupted my TV program? Is that why? Again, Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. There's the key. Do you delight in your children? Do you admire your child because of his abilities, his talents, his capabilities? There's a negative and a positive aspect. You don't want him to continue in wrong behavior, careless behavior, but you have to also correct him because you want him to use the talents that God has given him in a right way. That word delight. You know what that word in the original really means? Satisfaction. Satisfaction. How wonderful, how delightful it is. When over the years, I've had parents tell me, my children are such a delight. They find such joy, such fulfillment, such satisfaction in their children. Other parents I've heard say this in front of their children. Just can't wait till our kids get grown and get out of the house. God is my witness. I never thought that. Ever. Are you beginning to get the picture of what lies at the foundation of proper biblical discipline and training? It's not because they're in your way, and if you could have your way, they would be up and out and gone. Never. Delight in my son, my daughter, my God-given responsibility to train them, to discipline them, so that they don't go on in wrong behavior and wrong concepts, and they develop right concepts, and they use the abilities and talents, not selfishly, but for the benefit of others. What I'm driving at right now is simply this point. That has to be the feeling, the attitude, the understanding, basically, that a parent has in the depths of their heart if they're going to discipline their children correctly. You can't fake it. And the child can sense, this is for my good. They might not want to admit it at the moment, but they know it in the heart of hearts. My dad, my mom is right. Yes, I deserve it for my good. Why is it that the penitentiaries are filled? Thousands, I'm telling you, thousands alone in the state of California. I happen to know that because I deal with prisoners in California. Why? Because no one ever cared enough and loved them enough to discipline them and say, that is wrong. And the next time you do that, you're going to get a spanking. And they did it again, and you spanked them just like you promised. Kept your word. Until they learn. It's wrong. And at the same time, somebody should have been on hand telling them about God and His love and His word, and things begin to come together, and that child then begins to put them together in his thinking, and in his attitudes and in his life. And when you totally neglect that, you're paving the road to destruction. Ultimately. I guess I keep apologizing for using personal illustrations. I can't help it. They're my illustrations. I live them. I was there. I did it. And I know I'm not borrowing it from somebody else. We had a couple of boys run away from the boys' home one night. They were missing. We called the sheriff. They patrolled and picked them up and brought them back to my office. And I think I related this recently, but in the process of disciplining those two boys, one of the boys had a cast and had broken his arm previously. He happened to be from one of the wealthiest families of any of the families that we were dealing with. They were well off. But he was in trouble and got arrested, and he was at the boys' home. And I was thinking, do I give him his punishment or back off because of the broken arm and the cast? Cruel, mean Mr. Walter decided he gets his licks. And he turned around and reached out and took me by the hand. Tears were streaming down his cheeks. He said, "Thank you, Mr. Walters. That's what I needed." I didn't elicit that. Came from his heart. Someone cared enough to say no and mean it. And say, if you do it again, that's a sample of what you're going to get. Stop it. Correct it. Deal with it. No. You're too valuable to waste your life. I want us to turn, if you will, to the book of Job. You know anything about Job? Job was a man that was disciplined by God. Was he not? He was. And during that discipline that he was suffering and going through, his friends were there. Giving him advice. Good and bad. His friends didn't really understand the problem. Look at Job 23:2, and for our purposes, I'm reading the King James Version. So if you're using the New American Standard or ESV, it'll be different, but we'll put it together. "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments." Now I'm going to read it from the New American Standard. "Even today my complaint is rebellion. His hand is heavy despite my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him. Look at this. And fill my mouth with arguments. What is Job saying? Job is saying, I wish I could get into God's presence, because then I could make my case. He would listen. Job was being corrected, and in the midst of it, he felt he needed to talk to God about it. So Job says, if I could just fill my mouth, not, get this, not with argumentative discussion, but with reasoning and discussion. In other words, seeking to understand the purpose. Got it? It's the Hebrew word for correction. When God corrects his children, and I want you to follow me closely here so that we don't misunderstand what I'm saying. When God corrects his children, he permits arguments. And when we correct our children, we need to allow time for arguments. Hear me well. Not for disagreements, but we should allow time for profitable discussion. In other words, it's just being reasonable. Now, if you're going to correct your child effectually, you should correct him with a willingness for discussion in relation to the thing for which you are correcting him. Hear me well. This is not always necessary. Sometimes you correct the child, and the child knows very well why he's being corrected. So it doesn't follow that every time you correct him, you have to sit down and have a discussion and talk it over. I'm not saying that. But you ought to have an open mind and an open heart. And if your child has a sincere question, you ought never to say to that child, you do it because I say so, I said so, and that's enough. Because you're missing a key opportunity to put that punishment, that correction, in its proper perspective, to render the greatest profit from it in his heart and in his life. It's not because I'm bigger than you are. It's I'm willing to listen. Not the silly, foolish, on and on and on arguments, but to understand their thinking and make use of that to present to them the reason for the punishment. Be discerning enough to know that it's not a little trick on their part to prolong the punishment. I've made the statement earlier in one of our services, and that is, every man's a lawyer in his own behalf. And so we're not tolerating that, but we are seeking to recognize and be discerning enough to say, here's an opportunity for me to give some teaching, some instruction, along with the punishment, by listening to what my child has to say and responding as a loving parent. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say that a parent says to his child, and I'm not suggesting any background suggestion of the environment or anything, I'm just simply using it as an illustration. Let's suppose that a man, I'm just thinking up an example, a man who is a pastor of a church, and that man, being a father and a pastor, has decided he doesn't want his children going to movies. And the son says, why? Why can't I go, Dad? And the father looks at the son and says, because your dad is a pastor of a church, and Hollywood is against everything that your dad stands for in the pulpit. Got it? An explanation. Taking time. That was not, my example was not in a punishment situation. But it's that type of reasoning. It's saying there's a purpose, there's a reason, son, behind my instruction. Hollywood is against everything that your dad stands for in the pulpit. Well, it doesn't mean that the child will always agree, but they know the reason behind it. Let's end there and trust God to teach us from His Word principles that are biblical. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we pray that You will move in our hearts today and give us understanding of Your Word. If there be those that are among us today who are yet outside of Christ, we pray that this might be the time when You would effectually call them to Yourself and begin that work of grace that only You can do in bringing them to Christ. Dismiss us now with Your blessing. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.